Dus het gaat dus een interview met Acorn. En die meneer heet King. Wat was zijn voornaam? Austin King, National Director Acorn Financial Justice Center. Dus in het eerste fragment legt hij uit wat Acorn is. Dat is dus de grootste middenveldorganisatie van families in de VS. Community Organization voor families met lage en middengrote inkomens. En dan zegt hij, those in America who have been traditionally left out. 400.000 leden, 1000 werknemers. Een beetje een werking als een vakbond.
Nee.
Actieterreinen zijn minimumlonen, gezondheidszorg voor iedereen, huisvesting, ook immigratie. En dat doen ze speciale acties, zoals na de orkaan Katrina. Ze zijn ontstaan in... Ik zal het stukje laten horen. Hè. Het eerste stuk. Dat is...
Heb ze via Skype gedaan of zo?
Acorn is the nation's largest community organization of low and moderate income families. We fight for better neighborhoods, a better economy, and a better society for those in America who have been traditionally left out. And we have about 400,000 member families across 100 cities in the United States. And we fight for things like raising the minimum wage, stopping the foreclosures, getting health care for everyone, comprehensive immigration reform, rebuilding the Gulf Coast, and other similar issues that affect low and moderate income Americans.
Okay, so 400,000 members, is that, it's not 400,000 employees, what, how should I interpret that?
Just over 1,000 employees, I think, all told, but those are 400,000 dues-paying members that joined the organization because they believe in the work that we're doing.
So how was Acorn financed?
We're financed through membership dues, so many of our members pay, for example, $10 a month for Acorn to use that money for our different campaigns. We also get grants from foundations. We do some work on behalf of the federal government for specific issues, like rebuilding the Gulf Coast or providing counseling services to those who are facing foreclosure. We have a fairly diverse funding stream, but a lot of it comes from our members and then organizational foundations and donors that support the work of Acorn.
It's not just public money, because that's what I've been hearing in some of the criticisms towards Acorn.
They would be critical of us if we had even a dime in public money. And we do get some public funds for very specific purposes. They're not funds that fund our general operating budget. So when we get a grant to do rebuilding on the Gulf Coast, we only use that money to build new houses in New Orleans and things like that.
Now, well, maybe a little bit about the history. How old is Acorn? When was it founded and by whom? And how did it grow to what it is today, to the 400,000 members?
Acorn was founded in 1970 in the town of Little Rock, Arkansas, which is where Bill Clinton is from. It expanded slowly over the years. You know, we were probably in about 10 cities by 1980, and then by 1990, maybe we were in about 20 cities. But then in the last two decades, Acorn has really taken off and grown exponentially. So we're now in just about every major American city, and even some of the more minor cities as well. We actually have a neighborhood chapter base. So, for example, in most cities, there's a citywide Acorn chapter, but then there are also neighborhood chapters that fight for specific issues that are important to those neighborhoods. And we have about 1,200 of those neighborhood chapters across those 100 cities that Acorn has a presence in.
Can I compare the organization, the way Acorn is organized, to something else? Because to me, it's 400,000 members, 1,000 employees. How does it work? Do you have one chairman and then who's the boss of everything, or is it...
Probably the best analogy would be to compare us to a union, but for the community instead of for a workplace. We try to organize people so that we can use our collective power to win changes, both from companies directly, but also from the government as well. And that's very much like what a union does. And just like they represent workers and worker needs, we tend to represent communities and neighborhoods and fight for those people, just like a union would.
Zo, Austin King van Acorn over de organisatie. Hij zegt verder nog dat het is ontstaan in 1970 in Little Rock, Arkansas, de stad van Bill Clinton. En ik geloof dat dat Acorn opgericht is door een Vietnam-dienstweigeraar. Nu, sinds 1990 zijn ze zeer sterk gegroeid en 100 steden actief. En ze worden vooral gefinancierd door het privégeld, niet door overheidsgeld, want dat is soms een kritiek. Dus van de leden, donoren en stichtingen. In het tweede stuk gaan we het hebben over het kiessysteem in Amerika. Want uiteindelijk, dat was toch de aanleiding van dit gesprek. Daar hebben ze een systeem van kiezerregistratie in Amerika. Je kunt dus niet gewoon gaan stemmen. En de VS heeft de laagste deelname van kiezers in de westerse wereld. En dat komt, je moet je laten registreren en er worden een hoop barrières opgeworpen. Die zijn soms heel subtiel. Nu, in Wisconsin kan je gewoon naar een kiesbureau gaan en daar gaan stemmen. En het gevolg daarvan is dat er in Wisconsin 10% meer mensen gaat gaan stemmen dan in de rest van de VS. probleem is dat door die barrières dat vooral de midden- en hogere klasses gaan stemmen en de mensen met lagere inkomens stemmen dus minder. En daarover heeft hij het nu.
The United States has the lowest voter registration rates and the lowest voter participation rates of any Western democracy. And a lot of that actually stems from Jim Crow era laws in which we erected poll taxes and other barriers to prevent especially low-income people and people of color from exercising the franchise. And now,
but how does it, sorry to interrupt, but how does it work in the U.S.? I mean, here we just have to go vote. So we get a letter in our mailbox and all, and then we just have to go to vote. But it's not like that in the U.S., is it?
No, in the United States, you need to be registered to vote. And in some states, you need to be registered 30 or even 60 days in advance of the election at your current address. And so if you're a low-income person and you move with any frequency, or if you're a student or a young person, you need to re-register every time you move. And a lot of people forget to do that because they only really pay attention to the election when it's in its final weeks or its final month. Unfortunately, by the time some people tune into the election, they're already disqualified from having their preference expressed. Now, there are some states like Wisconsin, for example, where you can actually show up at the polls and register to vote on election day and then cast your ballot. That is a much closer approximation of a universal voter registration that we would like to see in this country. And actually, Wisconsin has a 10% higher voter participation rate than the rest of the country because of that law. Yeah. Unfortunately, in many southern states where the Confederacy was and where many of the racist Jim Crow laws were, there are much higher thresholds you have to meet. You have to have a driver's license in some states in order to vote, but not everybody has a driver's license. So there are a lot of barriers that are systematically erected to prevent people from voting, and it's very unfortunate. Now, the reason that ACORN does voter registration work is that all of the campaigns that we work on in Washington, D.C., would be a lot more effective if the electorate that turned out on November 4th in the United States looked more like America. Unfortunately, the electorate is skewed toward a more white electorate, a more upper-class and middle-class electorate, and low-income Americans and Americans of color tend not to be represented in the polling places and therefore tend not to have policies come out of Washington, D.C. that represent their interests. And so all the other issues that ACORN works on will be improved if we can make more low-income Americans turn out to the polls, which is why we go about trying to register voters. Now, in the last year, we have registered 1.3 million new voters in the United States, 70% of whom are people of color, and half of whom are under the age of 30. That's a huge number. It might not sound like it, but in the state of Ohio, for example, George Bush beat John Kerry by 140,000 votes in 2004. In 2008 alone, ACORN has registered 280,000 new voters. So you can see that in state after state, this has the potential of being an electoral earthquake.
280,000 voters, is that in Ohio or is that?
Yeah, 250,000. That was just in Ohio. In Florida, we registered 150,000. In Nevada, we registered 80,000. In New Mexico, about 70,000. And so in state after state after state, we went out and found those folks who tend to be low income and tend to be people of color who are left off the voter rolls, and we work with them to make sure that their information is updated and that they will be able to cast their ballot on election day.
So how do you do that? You go at the doors and ask people to register? Or
exactly. It's a lot of hard work. We actually had more than 13,000 part-time employees just during this election cycle to help us with this work. And yeah, it's knocking on doors. It's going to bus stops and public transit places. It's going to grocery stores and community centers and child care centers. And talking to everyone, you have to ask a lot of questions. Are you registered to vote? Are you registered to vote at your current address? And if people say no, we obviously try to encourage them to fill out the cards so that we can increase the participation of low-income Americans in the electorate.
So, Austin King van ACORN over het Amerikaans kiesysteem en ook over het feit dat ACORN, dus een organisatie van armere en middenklasse families, aan kiezersregistratie doet. Ze hebben 1,3 miljoen kiezers laten registreren. En om maar een idee te geven van het belang daarvan, in 2004 versloeg Bush John Kerry in Ohio met 140.000 stemmen. En nu hebben ze en dat was dus de sleutelstaat in de verkiezingen. Hadden ze Ohio gewonnen, de Democraten, dan was Bush nu geen president. En in 2008 liet ACORN 250.000 kiezers registreren in Ohio alleen, 70% zwarte. Dus dat zou wel een keer het resultaat kunnen beïnvloeden. En hij verwijst daar naar Jim Crow laws. Je kunt dat op zo'n link op de website zetten naar Jim Crow laws. Zegt dat jou iets, Jan? Jim Crow laws? Dat is blijkbaar, ja, ik heb het zelf niet gelezen. Maar het komt erop neer dat wetten zijn die de bedoeling hebben om te zorgen dat er eigenlijk niet al te veel volk gaat gaan stemmen. Goed, ik zal die kiezersregistratie is belangrijk in het politiek spel, omdat de meeste van die geregistreerde kiezers niet republikeins stemmen. Vandaar komen er ook alle soorten beschuldigingen aan Acorn, en daarover zullen we het zelfs hebben, met stukjes van Fox News en zo. Eerst een muziekske.